You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
If a couple of lumberjacks were coming to lunch, would you know what to serve? What about your rich uncle? And how should you plan a party for children, or a caravan of gypsies, or maybe a caravan of gypsy children? Well, Amy Sedaris has advice for entertaining guests of all kinds in her book, I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence. It's published by Warner Books, and it is a New York Times bestseller, and I'm very pleased it has brought Amy Sedaris back to my show today.
Hi, Leonard. How you doing?
And a little later on, Amy, you'll be announcing the winner of our craft challenge. We asked you to use googly eyes to decorate. You asked people to use googly eyes to decorate food and then post photos of their work on our craft challenge Flickr page, and we received, would you believe it, well over 400 entries. So in going over them all, Amy, was it a really tough choice to make?
It was a tough choice. I mean, they were all really good. Some were bad. Some were really telling because of the background, you know, and I didn't pick for that reason, like their house was dirty.
You lose points for dirty kitchen?
There was a brilliant one with coffee, but the coffee cup was ugly. You know what I mean? Or this guy was holding up something and his chest was too hairy. So I did a lot of elimination that way. But I like the ones that would just tell me a little story. The simple ones were the best. A little potato with, you know, a googly eye on it. It's like, it was just, the plain ones were great.
I was amazed at our listeners' photography skills.
Oh, I know. Pretty amazing,
some of
right?
these are pretty great photos. Yeah. So what inspired you to create a book about hospitality?
Well, I do entertain a lot, and growing up, I was influenced by two local hospitality shows, and I just remember watching them when I was 5 and 6, and I just thought, oh, I want to do this when I'm older.
And hospitality as opposed to Julia Child or something like that?
Yeah, but hospitality is different. That's when you set the table, you know, and there's an extra seat for, like, if a police officer drops by or a priest. That kind of hospitality I like.
And is that something that you're likely to see in the South? Because I don't remember seeing anything like that here in the North.
Yeah, in the South. You just, yeah, it was, you know, of course, Southern hospitality. You know, you just can't beat it. And I just like that, you know. Yeah, you don't have it here, really.
Well, we do have hospitality. We just don't have shows.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Some people might see you wearing a 50s-style dress on the cover of the book and think that it's a spoof. So how seriously do you want readers to take you?
Well, I did take the book seriously, and then, but yet I wanted it to be entertaining. So there is humor in it, and which Paul Dinella helped me. A lot of the humor came from him making fun of me trying to take something so seriously. So I just wanted it. It had to be entertaining if you're doing a book on entertaining, right?
It also is sexy. You have a picture
sex.
Of yourself.
Hey, sex sells, Leonard. Sex sells.
I'm not going to tell people what's on that picture of you.
Oh, okay.
But... It's quite revealing, actually. So do you think good hospitality is a dying art?
I think so. I mean, especially in New York, everyone's like, let's meet at this restaurant. Or, you know, very seldom I invited into someone else's home. Maybe it's just me, though.
Do you think people are intimidated by the idea of hosting a party? Or maybe they're just overwhelmed because the ultimate one-upmanship in New York is, I'm just so busy right now.
Right. Right, I just can't get it together. And they have so much help. That's the good thing about New York, is you can hire people to help you. Nothing's wrong with that.
In New York also, a lot of people tend to have small apartments.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really easier just to go to a local bar or a restaurant.
I guess it is, but it's so loud. And then you get interrupted by waiters. And I like working in restaurants. And I just don't like going there to, you know, like business meetings and just to celebrate someone's birthday. It's more relaxing at home.
And when did you host your first party?
I think I was in like 7th grade, and I made Cornish hens and brown rice, French beans, and lemon tarts.
Now, did this grow out of your family, some kind of family tradition, or was this because you were a Girl Scout?
Girl Scout, junior achievements, and my mom was a cook. She made 3 meals every night, one for my dad because he was dieting, one for our diabetic grandmother, and then one for the kids. So I was just always around food and grocery shopping and going to my friend's house and, you know, parties and our teachers would come to your house and give you the school report, which I hated. But we always had a cake for the teacher, and you know, that's a drag, knowing your teacher's upstairs talking about you.
But at the same time, knowing that if the cake is really good, you might get a better grade.
Yeah, that's true.
You said that the best recipes are on the back of a box.
Yes, they are, I think.
So were those were those cakes from a box or were they from scratch?
Oh, everything's from scratch, but I mean, they're suggestions. You know what I mean? Like the frosting on the back of Domino's sugar is really, really good.
So when you were putting together the recipes here, did you have to read a lot of food boxes?
A lot of them were my mom's recipes or friends. Some were recipes that I just took, you know, were inspired by something else, and I just rearranged the ingredients. You know what I mean? Changed the measurements and made them my own. Came from all over the place. But if they were off the back of the box, I put it in the book and said so.
And do you change recipes a lot?
No, I make the same thing over and over again.
And so the things in here are the things that I probably would have eaten if I had been invited to one of your parties?
Or like if my brother David's coming to town, I'll be like, what do you want? And he'll request chicken of the taverns or, you know, people request what, you know, when they come to my house, what they want. I'll give them a choice.
So you...
Baked potato, French fries, or rice.
So when David comes to town, he it's an opportunity for him to eat the way he ate when he was growing up.
Yes, or that he can't eat that way in France or something. You know, maybe he can't get, you know, sweet potatoes in France, so he'll get them at my house.
You know, Robuchon is just so stupid, he does not make these recipes in Paris. I guess that's why nobody respects French cooking.
Exactly.
So do you have a favorite recipe?
Chicken in the Taverns is my favorite chicken recipe in the book. And the brownies, my Aunt Joyce is her brownie recipe, and it's a really good one.
And what is Chicken in the Taverns?
It's chicken and spaghetti with tomatoes in it. It's something that they serve in taverns in Greece. It's like tavern food. So it's really simple to make. There's a lot of lemon in it and oil, and you bake it.
And are there certain things that you should make ahead of time? Especially when you're having a party?
I try to. I make a lot of things ahead of time just so the day of the party I don't have to, you know, panic and run around and do things. I like making stuff the night before. It always tastes better.
It always tastes better if it's a day old?
It usually tastes a little better.
Well, I always used to like Ebinger's cake day old.
Oh, there you go.
There was something about the way that the icing would meld with the cake that just made it really great.
Okay.
My guest is Amy Sedaris. Her book, I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence, published by Warner, by the way, is on the New York Times bestseller list and has been for a while. I mentioned when you came here that when we started that you actually have advice on how to serve lumberjacks and gypsies.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you meet lumberjacks and gypsies?
Do you
go to Craigslist?
Craigslist. Well, I was just trying to think of a hot lunch. I wanted people who eat hot lunches, it just says something about them. And I was like, who eats a hot lunch? And I thought a lumberjack. And also when I work on films and stuff, grips, you know, the electrical people, they eat like lumberjacks, where they use the bread as the utensil and they just shovel it in, they're back to work. So I just thought, you know, I would just pretend that I was entertaining a lumberjack.
Do you like acting?
Because
you're very good at it.
I like playing the part. I like playing things, you know what I mean? Or pretend, you know, like how things like how Johnny Depp playing that pirate must just be so much fun. It's so make-believe. But when it comes to emotions and moments and feelings, I don't find much pleasure in that. That's why I like to watch those things, but I don't want to play those parts.
So you would never go to the actor's studio? So that
to
you
be entertained,
cry.
I have no desire. I don't have a desire to do that. But I like creating my own parts and feeling like there's a sense of, you know, a pretend world.
Well, when you're on something like Sex and the City, you're just doing a regular acting job, aren't you?
I try, you know, yeah. I love doing that show, Sex and the City. That was a lot of fun. But, yeah, it's hard for me to memorize lines and say them like I've never, you know, seen them before in my life. That's very hard for me to do. Because I'm like, if I'm this character, why can't I just improvise it? And, you know... But I'm like, oh, I have to say these things. So it's just hard for me to wrap my head around.
You have some great ideas for children's parties. Are children harder to entertain than adults?
God, that's a good question.
I mean, they don't drink, so...
Or
they
do
actually...
they? They don't know they're drinking. That's my philosophy. Give them the Xanax. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you do set a time limit on a children's party.
Yes, here. 2 to 2:15, really. That's when you can show up late and come early.
I get the feeling that you don't really like to deal with kids.
They're okay. I've never wanted one of my own, but my the friends I have who have children, they're perfectly nice, you know. I mean,
in their place.
I can get in fights with children for some reason. You know, that's a person, you know, I'll fight with a 7-year-old. you know, probably because I have the same mental
Can't you just let them play with your rabbit?
No, because they want to tie the ears in a knot, or they want to, you know, they're quick, and rabbits are, you know, they're prey animals. So they, you know, they see something quick coming at them, and they, you know, freaks them out. They think they're going to be eaten.
Well, the good thing about a kid's party is you don't have to think much about the guest list. You just have to think about the parents who will send the kids.
Right.
Now, what about putting together a guest list for an adult party?
I do. Well, you cast it. You know, you decide. Well, you know, you have to really take in consideration who will, you know, fit together in the room. You're not going to invite, I always say, like a movie star and a scene stealer. It's just not going to work. You just tell that scene stealer you'll have them over another time. Or a barnacle. Someone
who's
going to
bring
you down.
Would you put a lot of scene stealers together?
That would be fun, yeah. I'll be right back, and then I'd leave my own party.
Barnacles are the people who...
Oh, bring you down. They might as well have a big anchor on their sweatshirt, right? Oh, landmines, I call them, landmines.
are there better nights to have parties?
Well, I don't know. In the restaurant business, the best night to wait on tables was Thursday night. You know, I think I like, there's something about Thursday that I like. But I guess if you're entertaining your home, sometimes weekends are good just because people don't have to go to work the next day.
Well, you know they're available on Tuesday because they're not at the restaurants.
Right.
Once the guests arrive, what's the most important thing a good host can do to make sure everybody has a good time?
I just make sure I give everybody attention. You know, I do pay attention. Everything's already been done, so, you know, I pre-planned. And just that everyone knows that I'm there with them and listening to them.
Well, if there's somebody, usually at parties, there's a little group that immediately congregates, they know each other, and then there's one or two people who are standing on the side.
Right, yeah.
You have ways of getting them into the conversation?
Well, if you give them a chore to do, like if someone's in the corner with bad skin, for example, then they're just in the corner thinking about how bad their skin is. So, you know, I'll give them a little chore and be like, why don't you pass this out? And then it'll take their mind off their bad skin.
I see.
You know what I mean? Like people like that. You just put them to work and they'll be fine.
Julia Childo said that you should never apologize if something goes wrong, if a dish has been overcooked or something like that, because your guests will never notice. Do you follow that advice?
No, I always complain. I don't like my own food. I just don't. I always find, you know, a problem with it or whatever. But if I drop it or something embarrassing happens, I do have a Polaroid camera and I'll take a snapshot and that'll make everybody feel at ease about it.
Your book seems very geared toward the hostess. What about men who want to entertain?
Gay. No, I'm just kidding.
Only gay men? Because you do have these pantyhose crafts.
Yes.
That they're out of the question, even with most gay men. So what should a man just pick and choose going through this book?
Well, I did write it. I kept saying, you know, hostess, because I didn't want to be like, you know, was waiting for a woman. But yeah, it's you know, it's for men. It's for men. I just didn't want to open it.
Do you have advice on being a good guest?
A lot of people don't entertain. So this book is for people who don't entertain, and it'll let you know how to be a really good guest.
How soon should a person RSVP? Right away or
yeah,
wait till the last minute?
Right away. Usually I plan last minute so I don't deal with RSVPs. You know, that's the kind of entertaining I do. But, you know, I'm really bad at RSVPing. But I know people get mad when you don't. It's pretty rude.
Do you prefer that they bring flowers or a bottle of wine? Or do you have something that you'd like guests to bring to a party?
I like it when they bring something I can use later. You know what I mean? So I don't have to really use that night at the party. Like chocolates are great or nuts or, you know, some lotion. So I like that. I don't like it when they bring flowers to a large event because then I have to stop what I'm doing. It takes me out of circulation. I have to acknowledge them, cut them down, find a vase and counter space. And so it's really not a good idea to bring flowers to a large event.
Unless the flowers are already in a pot.
Yeah, that's another story. But if you have a theme, you know, and those flowers don't go with the theme, then what, right?
Most New Yorkers find themselves hosting out-of-town guests from time to time, whether they want to or not. How do you make an overnight guest feel at home?
Well, I don't have. Usually I'm pretty lucky. No one really wants to spend the night over at my house.
Well, you actually have said that certain people, if they don't go home by a certain hour, then they have to stay for months, be your boyfriend.
Yeah, right, if they're alcoholics. If they pass out on my couch, you know, usually we end up dating for 2 years. Those are my patterns, Leonard.
And you suggest having a first date at home. Most people say meet at some anonymous place and don't give your name.
I know. I know. Well, like, usually I know the person pretty well, then I can say, well, why don't you come to my house? You know, because then that way I'm in control of the situation. And my apartment says so much about me that, you know, so I just think it's more comfortable.
But what do you do when this person is at your apartment and the date is not going well? You realize this has been a big mistake.
Oh, I know how to wrap it up. You know, I'm pretty good at, you know, things like that. Or it's like, you need to take your pants off and then watch them run out of the apartment.
That's the secret? I have to try that sometimes when guests stay too long. Just take your pants off.
Just take your pants off.
Or your clothes off. Amy Sedaris is with us. Her book, I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence, is published by Warner Books. And it has been on the New York Times bestseller list for a while now, and I'm sure that means you're rolling in dough. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, I haven't seen any money from it, that's for sure.
So you're still just rolling dough.
I it's so fun. I'm surprised that the book, I mean, it's so great, it's doing so well, but I never thought of that part of the process.
Well, maybe there's a bookkeeper listening. We can send them over to Warner Books and find out just how much they really owe you, Amy. Stay with us. We'll be back for a little more right after this. We're back with Amy Sedaris, author of the New York Times bestseller. Don't you just love it when people say that? I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence. It's published by Warner Books. Did you had no idea.
About the success of the book?
Yeah.
No, it never entered my mind that somebody would even try one of the recipes or that it would be in the store. I just thought process the whole way.
Because this is a large book.
Yes.
More expensive than some. So it's not the sort of thing you expect to just go flying off the shelves.
No. I didn't, but it's a visual. I've said this before. I did keep illiterate people in mind. There are three people in my family who can read, but they don't. So I took that in consideration, and I wanted a very visual book.
And you use only small words.
Oh, yeah. I'm not, you know me. Right.
No more than four syllables.
Exactly. It's my audience. But then my craft team. I mean, it was about who I, worked with on the book with, and I made everybody clock in.
So how did you come up with the idea of a googly eye contest?
I love googly eyes since I was a child. And when I die, I want to put googly eyes in my eye sockets and have an open casket because then I'd get the last laugh. And so that's a dream of mine too. But they just make, you put a googly eye in anything and it becomes alive. And I just love that, you know.
Well, we have the winner of the contest on the line.
Oh, great.
Hi.
Hello.
You want to introduce yourself?
Oh, wow, how exciting.
Hi, Julie. Are you Julie?
Yeah, I'm Julie.
Well,
Julie,
you did the hot dog, and when I saw him, I just was like, he's my guy.
Oh, that's so great.
Because it's kind of nasty that you held the hot dog and then you sliced the bottom half of it up to create an octopus, and I just thought your hands smelled like hot dogs, and then how you had to place it on the counter and his little rump had to touch that area, and I just thought the whole story. I just think you could do a whole animated series based on that guy.
Now,
Eddie.
Oh, now, everyone can see this by going to our website, WNYC.org. Pictures are posted. They have been posted for a while of all the entries, and we now also have a separate section for the winners. We have three runners-up also?
I think I picked three winners-up. I finally got down to eight or nine, and then I whittled it down some more.
And you're in Texas?
Yeah, I'm in Dallas.
So it's a Texas hot dog. That changes everything. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to disqualify you.
Do people do googly-eyed hot dogs in Texas as it is in Dallas? Or is do people do googly-eyed Dallas hot dogs, or is this something that you came up with on your own?
Actually, I think it's kind of an old, thing to do with kids and probably kind of a Girl Scouty thing, but a friend of mine is really into getting together and just having silly theme nights, and she really came up with the idea of finding a bunch of crazy things to do with hot dogs.
And brought over
a bunch of, hot dog props. And, of course, I have the googly eyes here handy at all times.
Me too. They're everywhere in my apartment.
Essential, with the duct tape and the water and everything else. But, we just made a bunch of different ones. But the octopus was really my favorite.
But then what happened to them? Did you throw them away?
Yeah.
Okay, there's a sad story. Ugh. But did you take the googly eyes off and then throw it away, or did you throw the whole thing away?
I think I threw the whole thing away. Okay. They were, you know,
that's cool.
At least
the garbage collector gets a laugh out of them.
You're like, ah! What? Listen, you have a choice of an 8-inch cake or a 6-inch cake, and you have a choice of chocolate, pink, yellow, or white, and I can do green.
Oh, wow. I think definitely the pink. The
8-inch pink. Okay, great. They're going to take your address, and I'm going to mail you an 8-inch pink cake.
But I want to ask you, how did you even hear about this contest?
Oh, yeah. How'd you hear about it?
I heard about it through the Kraft magazine blog.
Oh.
Yeah, they have a great blog online.
That computer's scary, man. You don't know the audience. I was shocked. There were 400 people who sent in pictures.
I know. It really seemed to have picked up there at the end.
Yeah.
So now that you've been on the show, do you think you'll listen to it sometime?
Yeah.
Have you donated money?
I'm sorry?
Have you donated money?
No.
Okay, Julie. That's the catch.
Let's get rid of this woman.
That's the catch, see?
No, thank you so much for participating. And we will send all of that. We will send you the cake. What is it?
I'm going to make it tonight. 8-inch pink cake.
Uh-huh.
I'll make it tonight.
And
I have to say that I'm of course, a really rabid fan of yours, but... Oh. The best thing I think you've ever done is the tumbling on the Colbert Show.
Oh,
that
yes.
That was so brilliant.
I had a deaf friend, and I came up with that idea to entertain my deaf friend. Something without words that Paul and Steve and I could do that was just fun and visual. But those guys were very sore 2 days after we did it.
Oh, I couldn't imagine.
But you're limber still?
Yes, thank you for asking.
That was fantastic.
I felt fantastic. And my and my little outfit still fit me.
The things you wore in high school.
same size.
and it's probably true, by the way. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
And congratulations. Bye. And how have you remained so svelte, considering the fact that you entertain as much as you do?
Well, again, I don't like my own food. It makes a big difference.
Well, you sell food so that you don't like the cheese balls and you don't like the cupcakes?
If I'm high. I don't know. I have a lot of energy. You know what I mean? I'm not just that kind of person. I do exercise and stuff. I don't know.
Can you imagine doing a television show, something like Martha Stewart's show?
Well, something like what I grew up with, the hospitality shows, has always been a dream of mine. But I don't watch those shows because I remember Galloping Gourmet and Julia Child, but I don't want to be inspired by what's out there now. But I did Martha's show, you know what I mean? And that was pretty exciting. I mean, a big audience and, you know, as I say, he was very nice.
He was very nice?
I'm just kidding, yeah.
And what did you make for Martha?
She wanted to make the Lady Baltimore cake that's in my book. And I've never made a Lady Baltimore cake because you need egg whites, and I'm intimidated by egg whites. The one in the book is fake. So that's what we made on our show.
Uh-huh.
And I made a mess, and I didn't know what I was doing. So it was kind of fun to work with somebody who really knows how to make a Lady Baltimore cake.
She knows how to do a lot of stuff.
And she had a panty line, too, by the way.
She had a panty line?
She had on dung-colored pants, and she had a panty line.
I'm just saying. Well, those are the things that you notice.
Exactly. Chief!
Now, for a moment before we get on to other important stuff, can we talk about some of the other runners-up and why you like them?
Yes.
There was one that was a clam.
I like the clam. I like the inside of his mouth. They put the eyes right against the muscle, and it just was like, I know that guy. You know, so I really like that. There was a peanut that was bent in the middle it was a perfect peanut, and I thought that was a really good thing. There was
cannolis. There was a cannoli family. There was a large cannoli and two baby cannolis, all with Google eyes.
Right, immigrants. And then there was the anchovy paste, and someone just squirted it out and placed googly eyes on top of it. I thought that was clever. I like the people that put parsley behind the eyes for, like, eyelashes. I thought that was a clever idea. And I've never seen the googly eyes with eyelids. There were a couple of those. I've never seen them before.
There was also an honorable mention of Japanese beans.
The edamame, yeah. I liked it because they used one googly eye and the other one was one of the green seeds. And I thought, oh, God, what happened to that guy? So I thought that was a good idea. And then someone went to the supermarket and put googly eyes on all the meat. And I thought, that's a good idea. Or one guy did it something with an orange and then he hid in his, shower and stuck the orange out of the curtain. I thought, okay, he lives alone. But I thought that was a good idea.
Now, you said that one person was disqualified for having a hairy chest or showing you the hairy
chest. Yeah, when it was stuff like that, I immediately just disqualified him. Like, again, the coffee cup was great, but I didn't like the coffee cup. You know what I mean? So I just looked at everything around the item first, and then I focused on the image and gave it a story, and that's how I picked the winner.
Now that you have become a super, superstar, Do you still wait tables at Mary's Fish Camp?
I don't. I do keep in touch with Mary, though, and I order my vanilla from her. Mm-hmm. You know, because vanilla is expensive, and I get a discount.
For making the cupcakes?
Yeah, you need vanilla.
And Gourmet Garage is making your cheese balls.
They make my cheese balls, and then I deliver my cupcakes when I can to Joe's Coffee on Waverly. But that's whenever I can do it. So,
do people recognize you on the street these days?
Not really. If they do, it's from Letterman or from Sex and the City. But I like doing disguise kit type characters, so luckily I'm not bothered. I bother people more than they bother me, I'd have to say.
You've revealed that you wore a fat suit at home to disguise yourself when you came home for your father.
Right. My dad's a pretty weight-conscious guy, so I thought, and whenever I go home, I'm always trying to think of a way to fool him. So, yeah, that's why the fatty suit was made, and David wrote a story about it.
And why pick on your father that way? Did he
kind
of personality?
Yeah, I just liked it. He gets so upset about something like that, and he just can't wrap his mind around it. Your ass is this big, and then blaming David for it. I mean, it's just you can't write that stuff. You're like, and I could do it again tomorrow, and he'd fall for it all over again.
What can a host do when there are rude guests or people have really gotten drunk? Are there ways of handling them?
I haven't really been in that situation where it's been too bad, except for, seriously, when they spent the night and we dated for 2 years. Seriously. Mm-hmm. But that was a true story. But, you know, if he gets
And what
out
happened
of hand,
to that guy?
I don't know what he's doing right now. I usually keep up, you know, I stay in touch with my ex-boyfriends, really good friends. But this guy I didn't stay in touch with. A little trouble, you know.
After 2 years, you decided you'd had enough.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm attracted to. That's why I'm not open to seeing anybody. I live alone, and I'm very happy about it.
Because you're attracted to people who are not good for you.
Or they have one foot out the door. That's the kind, and that's not going to change. You know, I know what I'm attracted to, the darker side, you know, misfits. So, you know, I'm pretty content, you know, living with my rabbit.
Uh-huh. Well, the rabbit is nothing like that. Or do rabbits have dark sides? The dark side of Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, they have a dark side.
They do?
She edited the letters in my book, the opening letters I have.
Your rabbit edited them?
Yes, they were typed, and then I put them on the floor, and she chewed the edges. So she was a big, you know, contributor.
How old is your rabbit?
She's going to be 4 March 8th.
Mm-hmm. So, and rabbits, how long do they live?
Okay. That's what people always ask that.
Well, you want to know. You know, this is a problem we have with pets in general. We fall madly in love with the cat, the dog, and then we outlive them.
I know. I know. They don't live long. Smaller rabbits don't live that long. Maybe 8 would be the longest. I mean, they can live to be older, but they don't have a long lifespan.
And how do you know the rabbit's birthday?
Well, that's her anniversary, actually. Mm-hmm.
You just assigned it?
Well, that's when I brought her home. You know, but, you know, it's great when you wake up. I woke up and she was right next to me. Her head was on the pillow. You know, it was just fascinating.
Do they sleep in the bed with you the mm-hmm. way dogs and cats do?
She does, yep. She goes to bed when I go to bed, and she does a little dance in the morning on the bed, and she'll get me up early when she wants to eat. And, yeah, they're really so much fun to live with.
And you can give them your leftover salad.
Yes, I make salads every single night for her, every night. Yeah.
What color is she?
She's black and white, and she's a mini Rex, so her fur is plush.
Would you have a party for her?
I always get a cake, you know, and I end up eating it all, but I just take a picture of it. I get a, you know, carrot cake.
For my dog, when it's his birthday, and he just had one recently, make a hamburger and put some candles on it.
Oh.
And that's his cake. He
oh,
likes
that's
it
nice.
A lot. He likes it really underdone, actually, raw inside.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this is part
black
of,
and blue.
But this is part of being a good host, isn't it?
Yes.
Knowing the tastes of the people you've invited, because so often the mistake people make is they assume that what they like is what everybody else
exactly.
likes.
Exactly. Or if someone says they're vegan, I'm like, you're still invited, but just eat ahead of time, because I'm not going to deal with that. I mean, you know, it's tough. But you have to assume someone's going to be vegetarian. So I just try to come up with a menu that, you know, can please everybody. But vegans and macrobiotics, whatever, forget it.
Do you have a favorite party outfit?
I'm an apron. I like, you know, I like something without a waist, you know, or something with elastic because I bloat a lot. And so I like something loose, and then I just tie it together with a pretty apron. And I love high heels. I'm a high heel person.
You also you try to sell stuff to guests.
Yes.
And that's usually considered quite rude, isn't it?
I don't know why it would be considered rude. I think it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, if I want to get rid of a bunch of stuff and I don't want to put it in the hallway, why not just charge people 25 cents and they can buy it, and then I pay for my laundry and they get to go home with something special. I mean, I cater it to my audience, but, you know, there's just a lot
what
of
what kinds of things are you selling for 25 cents?
Oh, everything from half bottles of lotion to aspirins, CDs, DVDs, clothing, you know, buckets. So things like that that I know.
Anything
that
you just know you're not going to ever use again.
Right.
Instead of giving it to the Salvation Army or Goodwill, sell it for 25 cents.
If it doesn't sell, I'll take it there. It's my last resort. But if I know that if you're going to come over and I think you're going to like these cigars that I happen to have, then, you know, you'll be so happy you bought it for 25 cents.
When you go to a party and they have these goodie bags at the end, do you feel like, well, gee, if I really were not a hypocrite, I would give the person who's handing me that bag 25 cents?
No, if I get a party bag, usually I don't take it because I don't want to bring anything home. If I want something, I'm going to buy it myself.
You could always sell it.
I do. That's what I'll do. It depends what's in it. And then I'll come home, you know, Why Real Women Have Curves or whatever, for example, that DVD. So I might sell that on my table for 25 cents. So I see what's in it.
So that sounds like something that really happened. Real Women
yeah,
Have Curves.
I
mean, you weren't
it.
Making that up.
No, no one's going to buy this. So I'm just going to sell it for 25 cents. You know, but I don't like taking it. I think it's a fake present when people do that. Everything's about a gift bag, and I just think they're gross. And I don't want to, I don't know. I just don't like what they put in it, and I don't like carrying it. And I just soon buy it myself if I want it.
So now that you've had this success with this book,
mm-hmm.
where do you go from here? You're not about to do that hospitality TV show unless somebody, a producer, is listening and says, hey, Amy Sedaris and The Apron, it really will go over well on television. Or else we could show them the inside of the cover of this book, and maybe you could do that at cable TV, right?
Whipped Cream and Jimmy's, yeah. Ratings, turn it up!
So are you writing another book?
No, this isn't. I'm not. I don't consider myself a writer like that. This is just something I need to get out of my system. And it was like, again, getting a group of people together to create something and being a Mr. Slate and being in charge. And I enjoyed that. But
you must also like the tour, or was that a drag?
No,
going
I enjoyed
all around the
it.
Country talking to people about
it. I did. Book. I didn't know it would be that exhausting or that demanding. So it took a while to get into it. But no, I enjoyed it. I like talking to people and meeting people like that. It was fun.
I've looked at some of those transcripts. Were you prepared for such lame questions? I'm probably for me as well, but
oh, give me a lame question.
Oh, I don't know. Some of those questions that you were asked on some of those local television stations sounded to me
yeah,
they didn't have
hard.
A clue.
Or I'll just shut down, or, you know, if you've answered it so many times. That happened more with the movie, Stranger to Candy. You get asked the same questions, and you're just like, oh, my God. I remember I just left my apartment. I had 20 phone interviews to do, and I just snapped. I couldn't do it anymore. It's the same. It's like someone tapping on your forehead over and over again. But I didn't feel that with the book.
Is there another movie in the works?
No, there is another movie in the book.
Are you doing anything,
star.
Amy?
It feels good because that really took everything out of me. So I like not having any pressure on my shoulders right now. But, I mean, so right now I'm taking this time to think of new ideas, which is what I like doing more than anything, without that pressure.
You can throw a party or two, I assume. But it sounds to me like we really do have to get that accountant down to Warner Books to get you some money that you can...
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to that aspect of the deal. You know what I mean?
The contract says, you know, you write a book and we keep all the money.
It probably. Knowing me, yeah, that's probably what happened. But again, I'm that Girl Scout mentality. As long as there's money in my jar, a dollar here or there, then I'm perfectly content.
Well, if you work that cheap, you can always come to public radio.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, wouldn't that be great? You're listening right now.
Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that on the air, wasn't
I? Oh, really?
No.
Oh.
Amy Sedaris's I Like You, Hospitality Under the Influence, with gorgeous graphics, which require you not to be able to read very much, is published by Warner Books. It has been on the New York Times bestseller list for a while now. And I thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. I love doing this show, so thank you. Good luck with the drive. I hope people send him some money, right?
We hope so, too.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great.
Mama needs a new pair of shoes.